We say hello to the mayor of the city of Grand Haven, Bob Manetza. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Mary Ellen.
What's new?
Oh, all kinds of things are new.
I know.
Every day's a new day.
Chief Hawk retiring?
Yes, he's going to be done at the end of May.
Okay.
And so we've known that he's been talking about this for a bit. Finally made an announcement. We finally put out a press release, but, you know, with specifying the date. Yeah, he's going to be a tough one to replace. You know, he's really become an integral part of this community. He's served us well, and he's really built up the public safety department. Everybody respects him and the department, and it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of outreach, and, you know, he's got a big personality, and he's all about that. So, yeah, he's going to be missed.
How do you even start a search for something like that?
Well, you know, every time you have an important position to fill like that, you know, like right now the school district is working on a new superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be working on this. When Pat McGinnis left, we had to find a new city manager. Well, we were promoted from within with Ashley Litch.
You
know, so you start a search. You know, you typically work with someone, a headhunter type outfit,
yeah,
you know, to come up with candidates, and they'll put out information, you know, for potential candidates to come in and apply, and then we screen the applications,
right,
narrow it down to a few, interview them, and there will be a committee set up within the city of council members, interested public, department heads, and our HR people, and so, you know, we'll start a search very, very shortly.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have somebody in place by next fall. But
okay,
there will be a period of time where we'll have interim folks, you know, run the department.
Right.
And so that's kind of typical. And we'll find somebody really good. We may promote from within. We may bring someone in. You know, when Chief Hawk came, he came from Cadillac.
Yeah,
because he
such
was
a different area. Cadillac to Grand Haven, really.
Well, it's a different area, but it's a similar size community. They're
okay,
little smaller. They're more. Their community set within a more rural setting.
Okay, yeah.
But you know, as I recall, back in 2012, when we were interviewing for that position, because you know, we had an opening with our public, you know, police chief, and we had an applicant from the Grand Rapids Police Department who was a captain there, and then we had Chief Hawk, who was also interviewing for it, and we thought, well, this is a better fit for a more similar sized community from Cadillac than somebody whose experience is within a large, highly structured police force like a city of Grand Rapids. So, you know, some of that plays into it too. You know, is the person's background more like our community,
mm-hmm,
or is it more like something else, or is it just a unique skill set that we're looking for? And, you know, a lot of it's how you react to the people in the interview.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. We'll get through a busy summer.
Isn't that a fact?
But you know, we have a lot of resilience here.
Yeah.
We have folks in the department who know what they're doing. We
mm-hmm.
have folks in City Hall who can pick up pieces. You know, it's you can't go on that way indefinitely, but we'll get through the summer just fine.
Well, good to hear that. Couple of things, and the story is up at WGHN.com, and we don't have to touch on this too much, but because I know that you applied for this a while ago, but the Michigan Economic Development Corporation did put out a press release. That's why it's in the news right now. $60,000 Michigan Lighthouse Assistance Program grant.
Every little helps, you
it
know.
It does, from the Michigan State Historic Preservation Office. Very cool.
Yes, we have a plaque that we're going to be dedicating for Mulligan's Hollow. This is something that Wally Ewing, you know, local historian Wally Ewing, has been working on for some time. He and some others applied for this plaque, and it's been made. I think it's here in town, but we haven't installed it yet. But on May 11th, we'll be having a brief ceremony out there to dedicate this plaque and the historical recognition of Mulligan's Hollow.
Very, very nice.
That'll be a really nice event, and it's a good recognition for the area. You know, people, it's a pretty unique piece of landscape we have there, and it has a lot of history to it.
It sure does. Yeah, there's a lot going on. The parking presentation last week. What happened?
Okay, so we've been working on the concept of paid parking, well, since before my first term as mayor. It was like 5 years ago we were talking about this. We had different ideas as to how much parking you could make into paid parking, how much
mm-hmm.
money, how much revenue you could get from it, what it would cost to put it in. And we've been kicking that around. When COVID came, you know, we kind of put it all aside because we were just more interested in surviving as a community during COVID. I mean,
sure,
it was tough times.
Yeah, it was.
And then we picked it back up in the past year or so. It's been picked up again. I know there's a presentation that Chief Hawk made to council,
mm-hmm.
Kind of recapping some of the previous work that had been done. And then the council put out a request for proposals for paid parking, I think last fall or last winter. And we got in seven proposals. We got seven responses. And those came in March. And staff had been trying to evaluate them, and they were so different from one another.
Even though
you put it out in an RFP and say, here's what we're looking for, here's the areas we want to park. And it would seem fairly straightforward. But they came back with all different technologies, all different approaches. Some of them had kiosks where you could pay on site with a card, and others had strictly internet apps where you had to have a cell phone where you could just scan it. And, there was a bunch of different things. And startup costs ranged anywhere from like $60,000 to $260,000 that the city would have to put in. So there was a lot of startup costs. There's a lack of internet connectivity down by the beach.
Hello.
So there's a problem there.
There is.
There's some infrastructure we would have to put in. We also discovered we would have to probably add to staff for enforcement, or we would have to contract with the company that provides the system to help with enforcement, because that's a part of it, and that's another cost. There's licensing fees. There's a bunch of stuff that came with. So the cost of putting it in pushed the return on investment out a couple of years. So you put it in, it'd be a while before you actually started to see return on investment. So we looked at all that, and we looked at how different the proposals were, and basically said, staff's recommendation was, don't do anything right now with this because we've got a lot going on, and we've got to sort out the costs. And the city's not real flush with money right now, so putting money into a startup that would be not an immediate payback or not an immediate need, either of those, you want to be careful about that. And so when we talked about it, we kind of set it aside for now. Some council members wanted to push ahead with it right now, and others wanted to kind of let it set. And so we'll probably one of the suggestions that Kevin McLaughlin made, I thought was a pretty good thought, was there's a one of the respondents said they didn't really have a proposal for us, but they would like to work with us more like a consultant, put out another RFP, talk with vendors because they have a better idea how to put it together.
Right.
And we could work with that and then do another go around with quotes. So that might be something that comes up again, but for right now we're kind of letting it rest, and staff is so busy with so many things right now. We're in the middle of our budget. We had a budget work session last Wednesday.
And that was held at Mulligan's Hollow in the
lodge
in
down
the
there,
lodge.
Mulligan's Hollow. So we did that last Wednesday. Between that and summer events coming up, it was like a good time to focus on other things for a bit.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. How did the budget process go?
Well, we have been working on the budget since the beginning of the year. We had a council goal-setting session in January, and that kind of sets the tone for direction the budget might go. We have a lot of things going on with the budget, obligations such as our unfunded pension, some of the other liabilities we have. We have Harbor Island coming up that we don't know the cost yet. We're going to be finding out more in June. The timeline is for us to find out more about what remediation alternatives are as we go.
Yeah.
We're doing public outreach now. So there's a lot of constraints on our budget, and a lot of we don't have a lot of disposable income right now, but we do have enough money to cover our bills. We're not in trouble. All of our funds are in positive state.
Good.
So it's just that we can't do some of the extra things, and some of the things that we should be doing, some of the facilities repair, some of the infrastructure work, those projects tend to get pushed out when you're short on cash. And so one thing that we do have going for us is that our general fund is in a pretty good state right now because we've gotten some one-time money in. We've gotten some ARPA money. We got a grant to help us with Harbor Island. It's up right now. And so we thought, well, maybe we can take care of some of these infrastructure and facility type projects, even if we have to draw down the general fund a little bit, because we really need to keep up with those. They only get more expensive.
Well, yeah.
And the things that need to be replaced or repaired, they just get worse as you go. So their usefulness is less. So we kind of came out of that with a pretty good sense of how much money we have available to us, the sorts of things we can do right now, and the fact that we're not in dire straits, but we're not in great shape either. So it's going to take a few years as some of our debts get paid off and some of our revenue grows. And so, the future is looking better than the present, which
is
always a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
And we'll get through. It just takes some patience and some careful management.
The meeting tonight, I thought this was interesting because I didn't know what it meant. Consideration by City Council to join the communities of Spring Lake Township, the Village of Spring Lake, City of Ferrisburg, and Grand Haven Charter Township in updating the collaborative community-wide recreation plan. What does that mean?
Well, what that means is that all the neighboring communities and us, we put out a comprehensive parks plan. It's a plan that we use when we go to the DNR. We use this as a basis for asking for grants. So it's important to keep that up. It's important to have it, you know, I think it's good PR for the communities that we have these parks and we take care of them, but also it's a basis for asking for grant money or for prioritizing what we're going to take care of for our park systems. You know, Grand Haven is going to share about 25% of the cost of this, and okay. The other communities will share based on the park areas and the demand they have for on this parks plan. So everybody's got a piece of it, and so we'll all get together and work collaboratively.
That's good. I like to hear that.
Yes.
It's Earth Day. Happy Earth Day.
Well, thank you.
Yes. And I know you've participated in those beach cleanups, because you and I have talked a little bit about the Sustainability and Energy Commission.
Yes.
Yeah. In Grand Haven. And that's a volunteer commission, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's an ad hoc committee. It was kind of put together, not really appointed by city council. It was appointed by the city manager to deal with some of the more... not routine business of the city, but some of the more innovative things, some of the ideas that have more to do with sustainability as opposed to, like, for example, you have a Parks and Rec board that deals with scheduling parks, and you have a planning commission. You have a lot of other commissions
sure.
that have set duties, and they
right.
have a fairly tight focus. And this one is more, they divide themselves into subcommittees. They have one that's dealing with forest health. So mm-hmm. they have one that's dealing, you know, they're talking about tree diseases and treatment and forest management. And another is focusing on a community energy plan. And they're trying to get this community energy plan rolled out so that we have some guidance on energy conservation, energy usage, things like that.
Yeah.
So this group has kind of looked at other things that the city might do which aren't routine business but which could become very important to the community.
Very good.
And they also have been a part of organizing Earth Day activities. So mm-hmm. we had a brief parade last Saturday.
Wait a minute. Where?
Okay, so we started at the county building.
Uh-huh.
We walked down Washington to Harbor.
Okay.
We walked over to Columbus. And we walked back up to the community center.
Okay.
And so it was...
Woo! Earth Day!
I'm not sure how heavily advertised it was. There weren't tons of people there, but we had a good time with it. And we ended up at the community center where, in the community center, there was...
There was an Earth Day celebration or something.
Earth Day celebration.
Yes,
there was a lot of tables in there with information. You could go in and interact with people. So it was good information to be shared. So, yeah, but that was what we did Saturday.
Very good. We're out of time. I'm sorry.
Ah, already.
I know. I took up all your time. I will be watching the meeting tonight. Nice to see you on Earth Day. It's a beautiful day out there. I'm so excited for the Coast Guard Festival, too.
Yes, me too.
I'm so excited. 100 years. All right, CBS News on.